Let's see, Jews are not under law, but under grace. That's correct, right? Today, there is no distinction as there had been before Acts 7. There's no distinction, or before Acts 28 even, to some degree in that diminishing period. There's no distinction. Jews are considered, I shouldn't say what they're considered. What's the Bible say? Romans 2:25. They rejected the Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, prophecy that God would send a prophet like unto Moses. And that they would listen, they would believe. And they didn't believe when he came. And there were multiple signs as to when he would come. That he would be born of a virgin, that he would be born in Bethlehem, that he would die a fierce death, that he would be raised from the dead, and other things that don't come to mind right now. But anyway, let me put this verse up there. Regarding Israel, for circumcision verily profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, and I just showed from Deuteronomy 18, verses 15 to 19, they were not within the law. Thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Uncircumcision. That's the Gentiles. So they have to come to God the same way as Gentiles do. They have to come as a sinner. And they think they're special still. They don't accept that. So there's a dilemma for them. They're far few and far between Jews that understand that they're sinners and they're not special people to God anymore, and they can be saved then, sure, yeah, just like any other. I don't know why I didn't see why there was a red dot, but I was about to let. Bible Science Church asked his question. Let's see. I am curious to see if you know who gave us the New Testament documents and who set the final canon. Yeah, the Lord Jesus Christ did. God did from heaven. God promised to do so, and he did it. Let me put a verse up there that shows you that. Look at, let's see, Psalms 12, verses 6 and 7. Let me get down here where they are. The words of the Lord are pure words. Silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever. They want to argue? Oh, well, we're not here to argue. This is not a debate room. This is a Bible discovery room. I just showed you the verses. If you don't believe them, nothing we can do. I mean, we're not here to argue you into heaven. You either believe God or you don't. So, now there was a long statement there that I missed. Let's see. I like going into these rooms and helping on Keflex, whatever Keflex is, become Catholic and atheists. Especially just understanding principles of how we got the Bible. What did he just fall from the sky? The people that say it's not the Roman Catholic Church are not consistent because they can't tell you which church it was, which group of people set the canon. You know what? I believe the Bible. I don't believe any denomination or so-called church. I believe the Bible. I believe God, and he spoke in the Bible, so I believe what he said. That's all there is to it. I'm not trying to come up to some group's standards. The God that of creation gave us his word through 40 writers throughout the canon of Scripture, the group. The errors in it, like errors that you're following, were around when Paul was here, was on earth, before he even laid down his pen and stopped writing. Look in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 17. The errors came long before, 150 A.D. that they say that their manuscripts go back to. For we are not as many which corrupt the word of God. It was going on before the scripture was done being written. That was before Paul was even sent to all men. We're not as many. There were many, many, many. Not just one person opposing Paul. There were many which corrupt the word of God. And those manuscripts came down through Egypt. And they deceived people and into thinking that... did he leave? But anyway, they deceived people into thinking the way Satan wants them to think. That Jesus was born of a maiden, not of a virgin. Some go so far to say as the Lord got married and things like that. So stick to the Word of God, not to just a book that has the word Bible on the cover. Find out if it has errors in it. They all have errors of self-contradiction unless they're the true Word of God. You can check out Hebrews 3:15. Let me look it up here and get the exact reference. Hebrews 3:16. Yeah, that's it. And 17. Let me put that one up there. You can compare for yourself. There may be somebody in the room that thinks these modern translations come up to the same standard as of authority as the King James. Look at those. Read those for yourself while I'm putting this other verse up there that shows they're just a fallacy. They're not. Those Bibles that don't say what the King James says here are in error. Error. Every word of God is pure. Psalm 12, 6 and 7. Every word of God is pure. No error is pure, and no purity has error. So in 3:16... Hebrews 3:16, for some when they had heard did provoke, howbeit not all that came out of Egypt with Moses. So not all of them came out of Egypt with Moses provoked the Lord. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Well, did everybody's carcass fall in the wilderness? Look at Numbers 26:65. For the Lord had said of them, they shall surely die in the wilderness. And there was not left a man of them, save Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, and Joshua, the son of Nun. There they are. Two people did come out of Egypt, go through the 40 years in the desert, and go into the promised land across the Jordan. If your Bible doesn't say that, in Hebrews 3:16, or allow for that at least, it's in error. It's not a Bible. It's not a holy Bible. So don't build your theories on false documents. The Lord gave us, through copies and translations down through the centuries, gave us the pure Word of God. And it's there. It's in the Textus Receptus, from which the King James was mainly translated from. And let's see, I'm glad you don't believe me, but do you believe God? Okay, that's in response to somebody up above, I guess. There. So I don't see any hands or any questions. I can get off my soapbox. And I'm sure most of the people in here understand those facts already, the authority of the Word of God in the King James Bible. So, we've got a little time left, not time enough to finish that lesson. Let me just, I do have, this is kind of a side issue, not scriptural or anything. It's my birthday today. And I ran across a file from 13 years ago, and I thought I'd just play it. It's about a minute long, a minute and a quarter.
Oh, yeah. Mike, happy birthday, bruh. Forgot about that. Great. Catfish. Okay, yeah. Happy birthday, Brother Mike, and many, many more. And thanks for, you should have let us know that from the start. We'd have had a, we'd have stumped you on in there and really made a hoot for you. But it's good you let us know. And I think the other day you were saying something about it, or somebody was. Oh, yeah, the other Mike's birthday. That's right. Well, congratulations. Anybody want to say something? Go ahead, Grace.
Happy birthday to Mike. Happy birthday to Mike. Happy birthday, dear Michael. Happy birthday to you and many more. How old are you?
Hey, Mike, you got the grand thing there. Grace singing you happy birthday. Wow. Thank you, Grace, for doing that. And happy birthday, Brother Mike. And I hope you have a good catfish dinner. I'm jealous. I had catfish one night last week, and Mike was, wow, that's yummy. That's great. Go ahead there, Brother Lee.
Ah, feliz cumpleaños, mi amigo.
Okay. I guess that meant happy birthday, friend, amigo. Anyway, I thought that was interesting to go back that far and hear Don. I don't know how many of you have heard Don before, Don Hodge. I haven't heard him in several years, probably 6 years. And I don't know if he's... he must have been part of Daryl Mefford's church down there in North or South Carolina, because I think he came from North Carolina or South Carolina in that area. And I've been trying to track him down ever since, but haven't found him. Although Elo, I don't know if you remember, any of you remember Elo, who was, what was the nickname for Leo Scales, Leo and Karen Scales. Last I heard, they were still attending when Jerry Lockhart, where Jerry Lockhart ministered when he retired. And I don't know what they're doing now. I haven't heard from them since. But I like to keep in touch with people. He's in Louisiana. He's in Texas. Let's see. Louisiana would have been Don Hodge and Leo Scales in Texas. Is that right? Don is in, okay, is in Louisiana. Okay. Good to know. I wonder, do you know if he's in touch with Mark Rumfellow down there? Okay, Bill, thanks for coming in tonight. Lee, do you know if he's in touch with Rumfellow? Don't know that. Okay. All right. Well, we got 7 minutes left. Time for a closing song. And... Or a question, if somebody still has a question. Justin, you had mentioned something. Do you still have a question that wasn't answered? We can try to handle it, even if it goes over past the top of the hour. It's a good question. I want to understand. Yeah, and I don't see any more comments after that. Okay, take a minute and either come to the mic or post it in text. I see a hand up. Okay, come on up, Brian. Brian, did you mean to have your hand up? Are you coming up? I don't hear you. Okay. Put your hand up again if you wanted to come up. Yeah, it's only by the grace of God that he made, gave Noah a plan to build an ark, or that he let people, survive through the Babylonian captivity, or that he gave the law. Those are exercises of grace, God's grace. He is a gracious God. They're not the dispensation of the grace of God, whereby anybody can come through a blanket promise that God made, like he has done now. We're all saved. Let me take that back so nobody... thinks I'm saying that alone. We're not all saved. Not universal salvation. You have to believe the gospel to be saved. The gospel in effect at that time. You have to hear it to believe it, and then you have to believe it to be saved. And for us today, those people back then in Peter, you were talking about Peter, I think, he wasn't saved just by believing. He did have to have faith. Nobody is saved in the Bible without faith, but it's not faith alone until you get to the mystery of Christ. That first was in a dispensation of the gospel in the Acts period, middle of the Acts period there, and then in the gospel, in the dispensation of the grace of God. All part of the mystery of Christ, and all those believers were placed in the body of Christ, baptized into the body of Christ by one Spirit. But there were times, you know, Noah, you may say that he was saved by faith, he was faithful or whatever, but how saved would he have been from the flood, the wrath of God in the flood, if he hadn't built the ark? He did have to take hammer and nails and do some work. He was saved by faith and work. And, you know, that's what Cornelius was under, the same conditions. Peter read to him, in every nation, he that fears God and works righteousness is acceptable with God. But they're not saved. They have remission. They're acceptable. Israelites had remission, not forgiveness. It's the same Greek word, but the context shows that for Israel it was always future. They weren't saved yet. They would be saved when Christ returns, Acts 3:19, 20, and 21, when Christ returns to blot out their sins. Their sins aren't blotted out yet. They're remitted to a future time when the Lord blots out their sins. That it coincides with Zechariah. Israel is a prophesied people. We're not. We're a mystery people, not mentioned in the Old Testament. But Zechariah 13:1 says the same thing as Acts 3:19-21. Seem to me they live a righteous life to the best of their ability, not to earn salvation. Well, what about the man that was collecting sticks in the wilderness on the Sabbath day? I see, Gary. Good. Thanks. What about the guy that was picking up sticks against the law on the Sabbath? He was put out of the camp. He was not part of Israel anymore. I think they stoned him, didn't they? Yeah, they stoned him. So, you know, was works necessary? Yeah. Works were. He had to believe enough to obey. And same thing with during the tribulation. You can read about in 1 John. They had to endure to the end. They had to, I'm trying to think of the term back then. If you look in Hebrews, over and over they're told that they have to, if they sin willfully, remember that? That portion there. Let me put some verses up here. Where's Hebrews? That's in the Hebrew epistles, the start of them. Where would it be? Let's look at verse 6. But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house we, Hebrew, that's a Hebrew writing it, whose house we Hebrews are, if we, there's an if, there's a condition, they have to do something. If we hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. If not, it's off. You know, it says they have a position in Christ's house, being the earthly kingdom, if we hold fast the confidence. They don't have the promise if they don't hold fast. Look at Hebrews 6, verse 4. Same thing. It's all consistent. For it is impossible for those who were once enlightened and have tasted of the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. D- Do you see that's different than anything Paul ever wrote? It's not the same. The revelations Christ made to Paul was a new pattern. It wasn't this old pattern of you got to walk the walk, don't just talk the talk. That's Israel. That's not us. Things changed. Things changed. We are not under those stipulations in Hebrews. That's to the Hebrews, not to us. Look at Hebrews 10:29. Again, it's different than what Paul says we're under. He says, "Of how much sorer punishment suppose ye shall he be thought worthy who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace." Let me just put the other side up. I'm not sure what you mean by that there. Paul, writing to his who he was mentoring, Timothy, bringing up in the faith, and he said to him about the people that he was pastoring, that Timothy was pastoring, those believers, he said, if we believe not. So if a believer stops believing, yet he, Christ, abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. What's this about denying himself? What's he talking about there? He says, by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews, Gentiles, bond or free, and have been made to drink into one Spirit. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members in particular. So God is faithful, yes. So I hope we all understand that Israel did have to do works along with their, they had to show their faith by their works. James 2 is a good summary of that doctrine. And you got to believe the words on the page, though. You can't make excuses for him and say, well, he really meant this, and make up something. No, believe the Bible. Paul talk about living in the newness of life. Yes, well, certainly, once we're saved. I don't talk about them together, though. I try to separate messages of how a believer should live his life and walk the walk, so to speak. I separate those from talking about how to be saved so that there can be no confusion. It's so ingrained in us from religious churches or pastors or whatever we're brought up with, that, you know, you got to be good. You know, if you're not good, God won't accept you. That's just not true. Christ died for the ungodly. For the ungodly. Believe it. I mean, it's written down. It's what God said in His Word. Okay, Gary, you still here? You've got a song for us to close by, I believe. Raise your hand. And I'll drop the mic. There we go. I'm glad you all could be here tonight. And thank you for the participation and the questions. Let's see, Peter and James walking in the newness of life, not to earn salvation? Were they walking in the newness of life? I think First Peter says they were, yeah. But the addendum there, not to earn salvation. No, they did it to earn salvation. They had to. Well, no, I shouldn't say it. Peter and James were apostles, and the apostles are named as ones that will sit on 12 thrones in the kingdom. So I don't believe they could have fallen at that point after the, you know, Judas did fall and he was replaced, but everybody else, you know, Lazarus, Mary, Martha, who are some of the others that are mentioned? Cornelius, Nicodemus, those early believers that were named in the Church of God in Jerusalem there, they did have to endure to the end. They had to keep believing, as opposed to what we just read about us in 2 Timothy 2:13. There was a difference. They're not under the same conditions. We're not under the same conditions they were under. They were under the gospel of the circumcision. We're under the gospel of the grace of God. Different promise to that gospel. They're promised a kingdom coming from heaven to earth in which they'll reign if they endure to the end. We're promised eternal life in heaven. Our conversation is in heaven. We're already seated in heaven spiritually. Our spirit is. Our battle is already in heavenly realm. It's not, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and the rulers of spiritual darkness. So we're just different people. We're not in the same group that they're in. Don't try to make them the same. They're not. Yeah, I mean, you're beating your head against the wall trying to do that, apparently. I mean, if that's what you're doing. They will be born again. Yeah, yeah. They were born in the desert as a nation, Exodus 4:22. And they were cast away in Acts 28. Verses 25 to 29, blinded. You can read that casting away curse in Isaiah 6, verses 9 and 10. And when you go on to 11 and 12, you can see what comes next after that casting away is exactly what happened throughout history until today with Israel. A great forsaking. So, they were cast away. You can't come to God that way. They're not like us. We're not like them. We both have faith in what Christ Jesus said to us. We both believe that Jesus is the Son of God, the Messiah, and that He rose from the dead. We believe those facts, historical facts. But as far as how we're saved, they believe that they're saved by enduring to the end, keeping the law, believing that Christ is bringing His kingdom from heaven, as He said in Exodus 19, verses 5 through 8. And we're not saved by believing in some kingdom, in God's kingdom coming from heaven to earth. We're in a heavenly realm already. Just our members, our body, our flesh, that still has sin in it, according to Romans 7. And that'll end at the redemption, at the adoption, the catching up of the body of Christ. Gary, come on up with that song, or comment, whichever, or both. Okay, Gary, you got a closing song for us? We'll keep studying and keep depending on the Lord to reveal through His Word to the Holy Spirit within us. You know, night after night, we'll keep studying these things, Justin. Hope you can keep coming back. Gary, I don't see that hand anymore, and I don't see anything in text. Are you there? Beep, beep. He might have had a phone call. If I don't see you by the time I've got a song ready, I'll go ahead and close with a song from here. Otherwise, if you have a song, let's hear it.
In the body are one baptized by Spirit. There's only one baptism in Christ, so won't you hear it? Salvation by grace came from Christ to all. To hear this you have to go to Paul. For in the dispensation of grace you see, this message came from Christ to Paul, you and me. There are no works that you or I could do, cause Christ has paid it all. To hear this you have to go to Paul. Those in the body will be caught up someday. The Lord Himself shall descend from heaven, He's the only way. Are you ready for when He gives that call? To hear this you have to go to Paul. Dispensation of grace you see, this message came from Christ to Paul, you and me. There are no works that you or I could do, cause Christ has paid it all. To hear this you have to go to Paul. To hear this you
Oh, I thought I had the mic on all that time. Okay, what I was asking was about Ed. Ed, can you hear me? Are you in the room here? I didn't understand your comment earlier, whether you were saying you hope somebody's going to open a room or you were going to open a room. Is your room open? Can anyone hear me? Give me a one if you can hear me.
They're mixed up. And, what's the verse I'm thinking of? I'm going to badly paraphrase it. Well, in our own mind, we have to be, I'm not thinking. you know the verse I'm talking about. We have to decide in for ourselves, badly putting it, about the truth. You know, we have to come to our own in our own time. And we can't force it upon you, nor can, examine yourself whether you be in the faith, prove your own self. That's it. Great. Thank you, Mike. Know ye not your own selves how that Jesus Christ is in you, except ye be represented. Mike, it's a miracle. Anyways, Justin, good to see you back in the room, and questions are good, and you're thinking now, and you're starting to look at these verses. You're very welcome. You're starting to look at these verses in a different way than what you've, and just believe them. That's the key. It's just believe what you're reading. Now, when in Acts, and Mike quotes it a lot, that verse Acts 10:35. You know, they had to have works to be accepted. If you just believe it and don't twist it, now what does that mean to be accepted? Well, it's got to be salvation. It's got to be. Now, if you don't have it, you're not accepted. There's so many differences. Does anyone here, my explanation on the Old Testament believers having to trust and obey eventually be saved? No. I'd like to hear it. So I'm going to get off the mic. Thank you for the mic, Mike. Good works. Yeah. We should do works, but has nothing to do, like Mike says, we need to separate them. Where in Israel, they had faith, but they needed to have physical proof of that and have that works. And correct me if I'm wrong, but those works, because Jesus is preparing them for that tribulation period. People don't keep that in mind. They don't think about that. Oh, that's today. That's for today. Oh, no. He's teaching them how to get through that point in time. So they needed to help each other and give up everything. So it's instruction, how to survive it and get to the end. Paul said it is good for us to have good... Yes. Yeah. It's good for us to have good works, but it's apart from our salvation. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Anyways, it's... God turned the tables, Justin. When Israel fell, it's like the way I see it, he flipped everything around. No water baptism, no works, faith alone on the cross. He's not dealing with any kingdom coming. He's building up heaven. So I see it as a complete new, as Paul said, a new pattern for salvation. I see it as that. I don't see it as being unfair or anything. I see God has dealt with them that way, just like the way he dealt with Abraham one way, and Noah one way, and all of that one way. And then he comes up with Paul, and he gives us a new pattern. So you either follow that new pattern, or you mix what the pattern is given to Paul for us, and then you get you battle with the scriptures, and that's the bad thing. Open mic.
I hope I can be heard. I don't know. After I was talking about 15 minutes thinking I was being heard I'm not going to go through that whole thing again, but I think it went on the recording. I'll post it on the website under recent pages after about an hour after the meeting here. But there are a couple places that are very clear about the distinction for us between works and the salvation, that no works are involved. And he had to make it very clear because works had to be involved before. They were involved before. And so the difference in Paul's gospel is that there is no works that we do. Over and over he made that abundantly clear. But look at Ephesians. Of course, this is one of them, and you're probably aware of it. But let's go through it. For by grace are you saved through faith and works. No. For us, it's through faith, it says. No works, it says. And that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And he goes on to say, for connects it with before there. It's not a new paragraph. For we are his workmanship. He makes us the way we are. Well, we have a choice in it, yes. That's, in Romans 6 and 7, if you go through, we just went through the Romans series, but if you go back and look in topical lessons under the Romans series, for those, somebody mentioned they were having trouble understanding the labeling. Those four numbers, four digits, and then a dash, and four more digits, that's chapter and verse, from chapter and verse to chapter and verse. Okay, so 0425 to 0501 would be Romans 4:25 through Romans 5:1. But anyway, Romans 6 and 7, it talks about our walk, how we are enabled, what is our choice in it. We do have a choice in how our walk is. But we are guaranteed that in the end, when we die, we go to heaven, and that when we go to heaven, we are conformed to the image of his Son by then. So that's the outcome. It's the same whether you are a godly testimony or an ungodly testimony here on earth. James said, I show you my faith. James is talking to Israel. Yeah, that's the other... I show you my faith by my works. Faith produce good works. Is that correct? It should. It doesn't always. But for them, it had to, for them to be enduring to the end, to be saved. But so we were going through this verse 10. For we that are saved, in from verses 8 and 9 above, in Ephesians 2, we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto. You're not doing good works until you're created in Jesus. You're not that new creature until you receive the gospel to yourself for your own condemned condition, that Christ died for your sins and took your judgment on himself. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should, we must walk in them, we should walk in them. And we should walk in them. I agree with you, Justin, we should walk in them. But if we don't, we're still saved. And you've been shown multiple verses about that. 1 Corinthians 3:15. Brian, is Brian still here? He had one the other day, I can't remember where it was right now. But you had a good one up there too that shows that you're still saved if your reward is all burned up or whatever. I don't think it was about the reward, so it was somewhere else and I can't remember where. But the other scripture that says the same thing, Titus. Let's look at Titus 3:5. Before I post that, let me erase that and get that. What you've got there, 5:5, is that the one? To deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, this is it, yeah, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. That's right, yeah. Vile sinners, they're to they're still saved, is what the outcome is at the end there, that the spirit may be saved. But let's look at Titus 3:5 here. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. And I don't think you have any problem with that. It's the other side, the ones that Israel has done, that you're talking about. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. We didn't save ourselves. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, which he shed... I got the wrong one. Sorry about that. Let me get this wrong poster. which he shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see washing of regeneration is not something that we do or that is done to us. It's and neither the renewing of the Holy Ghost. We didn't have the Holy Ghost to begin with before we were saved. So it says here in verse 6, which he shed on us. The Lord, that occurred to the Lord Jesus Christ. That happened to him. The washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Ghost. And he shed it upon us, just like he imputes to us his righteousness. Shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Lord. A couple more verses here in line to make the thought. I keep going to that wrong poster. Let me close that. Verse 7 and 8. That being justified by his grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. And that's that promise of life that we are believing. We put our faith in Christ, in the faith of Christ. Christ had faith in God the Father that he would raise him from the dead. That's the promise of life. This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God. So it's talking about people that have already believed the gospel. They've believed in God. Might be careful to maintain good works. It doesn't say you have to or you're not a saved person anymore. But we are to do that. Yeah. For Israel, they do have to. They do have to maintain good works, or they've fallen away. They've crucified Christ again, you know. There's no more sacrifice for them. We read all those verses. Oh, no, I didn't. I wasn't. I thought I had the mic at that time. I'll post that session in the recent lessons, along with the actual lesson from earlier.